I'm the architect of any space I pass through waking. Keeping my zero mind open, the world rebuilds me on the go. The first house is the site of self-opening doors. The space of firstness lives space further than space-time. The first house is not the same from the first. You still can't enter the same room twice. The living house lives first in the mind and then gives birth to itself. It owns the blood of its architect, and that's how it gets in your blood. It calls up statements too outrageous not to be true. It can get claustrophobic in here, alone with words. So I open sesame the syllables. My arm's length, peri-personality, knows its space by feedback, cave breathing. I'm only 3D as far as I go, in or out. Openings I hack, let light play its colors. A hue is a violence with self-control. My rainbow body is calling me home, and I'm taking my time. Making up a room ends in making up the mind. Buildings are self-fulfilling prophecies. Sharp, self-shaping life short-circuits the architecture, and space is born new. 2. The sound of feet proves floors are made for listening. Joints are sense organs for the swing of limbs. Our jungle genes are preying on time. The senses talk back to the world. I further animalize the surround. Body is the inevitable cosmology. When we sleep in our bed as we sleep on a problem, insomnia self-births us. When a house is health, it sheds disease with ease of free airflow. Awake architecture keeps you on your toes to keep the brain living. The house thinks without transitions. Here is the everywhere mind finds. House sets rhythm of walking to tune mind. This lingual portrait, flowing the first house, makes its spaces on the run. The poem house is the houseboat of the animate tongue. House is first in living space at the level of poem. A room has insight. A lived house smells of self. I am with house as I am with book, with child. It's always now or never. The first house retains your ways back to zero point self.
I'm going to first of all read a poem from this book, Axial Stones, which some of you know, and which Carter kindly wrote it, a way overstated forward to, but very kind, as usual. And the book is called Axial Stones, and the poem, oddly enough, is called Stones. Stones. Stones are only visiting us here in the realm of perception. They have a time deeper than time. They sing quiet. They hold space open for shadows and tilt the continuity of the empty view. They point in the direction of around and about, but not for anyone. They appear to long for unborn selves and lean against thought. No feeling is at home among them. No touch touches except itself. The found stone is sleeping as wide as awake and takes away the need to stay too long. I'm going to read a poem called Portrait. I do a lot of portraits on video, and so I'm very sensitive to this question. And the only people I find difficult to get to sit for my portraits are people who do portraits. Interestingly enough. Portrait. This is a portrait of me, by you. Imprecise, only because you can't see me. You have it in you to do better than I, were I to make one myself of myself. Because I know what you may only guess, that I'm not here as a portrait is. Only a portrait is itself as a portrait is. As a person, I know only that I is not so. Maybe another and other, but only maybe. I contemplate that I may be contemplated because I don't want to be my portrait. Maybe my portrait is smart enough and I don't want to be me. So to the extent that there is a portrait here of me, it's yours. Actually, I'm going to read the poem I was debating as to whether I would read, because this belongs to a series of poems called Torsion Poems. And I think I'll read it, because, you know, Carter's work is so metaphysical, you know, so I really have to sort of do my metaphysical thing with him. It's called What's Calling Thinking. If I were to bring all the things I think into one moment, this is what it would sound like. Just kidding. You wouldn't believe it if I did, so why try? Sky holds all thought even as I think. Of course, nothing I do dares call itself what is called thinking or other titles known to inspire. Note the emphasis on calling. That's important, like the thinking itself. Thinking itself, that which calls itself forth in mind is thinking itself before your eyes, so to speak. You know, the thinking carries itself with a certain tonality, like a basket of pomegranates. That's a trick, in the sense that poetry will do anything to keep your attention, but so will thinking, because if it can't hold you to it, what's it doing? I mean, when is the last time you actually witnessed someone thinking? I believe I saw Jacques Derrida doing it. The list is not long, but as I think about it, it does creep up bit by bit. No point in naming names, really. You had to be there, or maybe you were there without my knowing it, or even without your knowing it. Or maybe there was no one witnessing the witnessing. Maybe it cannot be finally established that witnessing or thinking is, after all, because who can say what another has witnessed? We live in such a time that all comes into question without much fanfare or relief or pleasure in thinking same. The thinking same is never the same, is never the same thinking, because the act of witnessing changes what is witnessed most uncertainly. And the act of thinking defines the scope of the act of witnessing. And the reverse is also true. Try it. Witness it as it truly is. For seeing it like this, seeing that it is not an it, that thinking itself is certainly thinking, unlike any that has ever been or ever claimed to be, declaring thinking to be witnessing itself. It turns on whatever's there. Okay, I have a few other tricks here. One of them is to introduce you to something that I've been doing for the past 13 years. and that's called preverbs. Now, preverbs sounds like I've made a mistake. I meant to say proverbs. That's a good start. A preverb, I have a couple of things to say about it. A preverb is a one-line intentional act of language that invites configurative reading to become a singular event of meaning. Okay? Right. I began to write these things in imitation, partly, of William Blake, a great hero of mine. In The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, Blake has a series of proverbs. Proverbs of Hell, he calls them, because they turn the tradition of proverbs, as in the biblical proverbs, upside down. And they become celebrations of what the proverbs in the Bible would probably not celebrate. Matters of the senses, for instance, or knowing through acts of your personal life. And a typical Blake, a Blake proverb would be, a proverb of hell would be, if the fool would persist in his folly, he would grow wise. Or, no bird soars too high if it soars with its own wings. So these are like acts of wisdom, but you know, they're not actually wisdom, they're actually something like a principle. And I'm obsessed with this idea of principle, that principle is at the foundation of everything that we do, but we don't know what it is, and we labor to find it out, but we quickly turn it into wisdom. So a preverb is like a proverb in that it's answers to the human desire for wisdom. We want to be able to say what's true, but it pulls back to the stage previous to wisdom and puts us at this kind of stage that's kind of a closer to the primordial fundamental thing that we are, whatever that is, which we don't know. So that's what it does. Also, proverbs tend to be memorable, and preverbs are hard to remember intentionally. And that's, of course, Blake celebrated the daughters of inspiration rather than and he didn't like the daughters of memory too much. So, you know, there you have it. So I'm going to start out in a kind of peculiar way, celebrating the line that I had, Carter said we had in common. He came to a reading of mine, he noticed that one of the lines in the book, this book that has just come out, which is book one of the preverbs called Verbal Paradise, a modest title, Verbal Paradise. And Verbal Paradise is the first of six books. Five of them are now complete. Only one has been published so far. So I'm going to do something I've never done before, which is to present a series of preverbs, first of all, as individual lines that they are, but in such a way that the principle that underneath even the most complex thought structure is a fundamental rhythmic base that is completely independent of the thought as you think it, but drives that thought. It's something like the erotic basis of thinking, or something like that, or simultaneously the poetic basis of thinking. For that, it requires an extra element. Things done for themselves are the only things done for all. Everything sounds true to itself. anything sounds true to itself unless it doesn't. Music reaches from words. Connection by disjunction. Is a sound function. I hear music with no outside. Voicing sound is tearing up the tearing up the ground. Wise sayings never sound right in the wild. Wise sounds never sound right in the wild. Meaning here, is a firefly function. By the way, I should point out that one of the motivations for deciding to make this not an entirely verbal experience is that my generous artist friend, Mike Metz, whose magnificent work is around us, has two elements that I'm celebrating implicitly in what I'm doing. One is, it turns out he's a percussionist. Right, Mike? Okay, got that one right. Number two, he uses language in a transformative way in his work. And I actually relate to the way he uses language in the work quite directly. So this is dedicated to Mike. Now for the hard part. I'm going to read you a few of the texts that belong to the work in Preverbs. And then I'm going to perform one more piece for you. Right sounds. One, ears full. Everything sounds true to itself. Dreaming my language disappearing, I asked, what do you want from me? A right is hearing, if accompanied by a hissing sound. Poem-like dreams fan dance before inquiring mind. I hear music with no outside. The sound of passage is half from the participant, half from the orbit. I notice when speaking the unspeakable, she parts her lips like an ear. So I'm listening for you. Thank goddess. Speaking bodies. You hear. We are the shapes we speak. The world is alive with feedback measured in ears full. A spherical sound surrounds its own. The text does the hearing. Right-sounding lines have much punch per syllable, like the weather. Tearing the heart away is audibly non-separate at this sight. 2. Unnaming flames. This is where identity finds its way out. Through the door, according to Confucius, wisdom billows before me. The sound of one face slapping is two lips lapping. Bad jokes rescue the good, standing beyond assessment. The right, R-I-T-E, impediment, making sense, violates the right, R-A-G-H-T. I feel feralized. Mind when a poem is keeping out of jail. Celebration, this is the leading part, her curtains going up, getting back to the raw stages. Don't know where to turn until it turns. And I still don't know my lines. Wise sayings never sound right in the wild. 3. The godly pen betokens the hand. Verily, though the shadow walks through me. What planet is this, really? Don't you wonder? Shadow stalks here like rhetorics. I exert control over the process at hand less and less and less thumb, less wrist, less shoulder. Breathe through spine audibly. Where the right happens, all clears like being fallen off through. In caverns, I imagine I come ear to ear with my own strangeness. Everything sounds true to itself, unless it doesn't. The missed note hisses still in the blank. 4. Opening excites the displaced traces. On certain days and certain hours, truths are known by tone alone. Learn a new language every time you open your mouth. I can't not tell you, the hand is carried by the pen. Mouth listens till the tongue moves. Is strangeness the default state of a secret sense? Eyes glisten till the thought sees. Think, lest the name tame before the tale can tell. No window, no willow, no wind wallowing in its own moan. Seeking title, I came upon the courtless court way of love and affliction. Now I'm breathing hard in the sense of place, self-seeking. Things have to come home to know themselves. It speaks to know itself in the return. I will read you one more of these preverbs. I was planning to read you 50 or 60, but then I looked into your faces. And I saw Jim over there, and I said, oh, no, I couldn't do this even to my worst enemy.
You killed me.
So this one is called Things Done for Themselves. And it's for Susan. Surprise. Things done for Susan. I mean, things done for themselves. 1. Last words first. We walk together like a field of fireflies. It gives the ear back to itself. Hard to beat being heard. No word for this thing between us. Feeling a field. Mark the opening eye. The words I leave out rip me apart. The mystery is the core violating itself, blurted the absent voice. Time's recovering. I'm here to quit the garden for good. Reading poetry suffers it to speak. Violation is not what you think, unless it is. Two. Wanting it all in every line. Things done for themselves are the only things done for all. Just walking by, she multiplies in futures. Flash. I'm the one in the middle longing to be the many. Put I inside the empty letter and she looks back at you. Voyeurism's the illusion, I'm not looking at myself. Exhaust the wisdom impulse before it exhausts paradise. Three, further otherness. Today is the day I rewrite my biography. Pen slips on the slopes of sorrow. I can't help believing in one thing after another. Sounds good to me, sounds true enough. And then, four. No place else to learn. A blurt's a sight of first breath. This sounds only this way. We wave through each other to approach and flex. Optimal includes bottom. The world singing to itself again through our dog. The tremor in the voice lets the knower out. Poetry is the state stating, says, say what keeps saying itself. Five, unsearching. You didn't know it, but it let you know it. A form is what knows to take place before you. It gives eye back to itself, seeing marks. Let's meet in the dark where you read through yourself. Juliet, the verbal scent. Names get a life to be spoken. And so I makes my ascent into present. Poetry says it better than it sounds. If I don't mean what I say, at least it means me back. The only things done for all are the ones done once for themselves. Six. Being first again. I barely feel myself hanging together. She knows to call me by my calling. It takes a life to be known, to tone, like things fall free, and like things fall free alike. The underlying rhythmic is over and out, over and out. Seven, pre names the program to optimize. Hearing marks. Speak in the first person on earth. She sets my system on merge. Meanwhile, I call from a verge. Don't strand me on the grounds of sound. I can say nothing I can't hear. The vision's the body seeing through itself. The poem, even now, is hearing itself. Frog pond in the darks, bounding across from here. Okay. Last piece. This requires some duplicity. Like what came before.
Transmission
is radio, like
mind
itself.
Radio
is now,
or
not at all. Everything is hearing. So listening is hearing. So listen along.
Engenders itself.
Sure.